Thank you, Patrick. Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope things were warm and comfortable over at your home. We weren't quite below zero this morning. It's a little cool. We had something like 0.6 degrees at our house. So we have been fed wonderfully lately. Last few weeks here, Lauren Hollingsworth and David Boswell have been bringing our lessons, and I have thoroughly enjoyed the feeding, the connection to His Word, and the depth and the application by those men. Next week, Lauren will be bringing us the lesson again on Sunday, and then the 10 days from now, whatever that makes it, the next Tuesday or whatever day it is, they're flying on to the Far East, and we'll be Lauren and Penny will be gone, we expect, until early March. So let us appreciate the time we have together with them and soak up the lessons and follow on, as we talked about, with taking notes and taking the lessons home and reading the Word in our own house and with our families, that we can be people who know God's Word, who knows what He said, because we take it in ourselves. Let's go to our Father in prayer before we get into this lesson. Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You and pray that we can be a pleasing congregation to You. Father, we have so much noise and distractions around us that try to cloud the clarity and simplicity of our walk with You. Father, we pray that we can be a single-minded people, with families that are single-minded, united in love and in purpose, following Your Word. Please help the elders here to lead with humility and service, to lead with a protection of Your truth and in a direction that is Your will. Help those who serve here, starting with the deacons, to serve indeed, again, accomplishing Your mission and Your will, and help all of us to submit one to another, that we can be the church united in Your purpose, presenting Your kingdom and Your gospel with clarity and with love and with truth. Thank You so much for Your Word and for Your Son. It's in His name we pray. Amen. We truly enjoy and are humbled that we can have such a mission before God, the mission of making disciples. Our congregational mission of making disciples has the dual application of growing Christians. And every morning you look in the mirror, you're looking at a Christian who needs to grow with Christ. And these are part of the times of our growth. These gatherings on Sundays are periods of nourishment and growth for Christians. Sunday assembly is not an evangelistic meeting. This is not a mission, an outreach time. Absolutely, we want folks to be here who need to learn how to follow Christ and of following Christ. Certainly, we want to invite our neighbors and such to be together on Sundays. But the teachings of the New Testament are that our assembly on the first day of the week is a time of edification, is a time of growth, is a time of encouragement. That you come here and we connect to one another and build one another up in service to Christ. We go from here to all the rest of our mission, which is to grow as Christians wherever we are and to reach out to the lost. Jesus was in the house of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We know the story of Zacchaeus sometimes because of the song we sing. The little man who climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus walk by the way. And in Zacchaeus' repentance during Jesus' visit into his home, Jesus responds to that point of repentance and tells anybody who hears, today, verse 9, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus had a mission. Jesus has a mission. He presents his life and his character and his person in pieces as he goes through. He shows us God in little clips so we can begin to grasp the character of our Father. And here in Zacchaeus' house, in the last man practically you'd have picked out of the town for the Son of God to be visiting, that tax collector, that cheat, Zacchaeus, Jesus proclaims his own mission, that he has come to this earth and is still performing on this earth for God himself to seek and to save that which was lost. We are the body of Christ, and therefore we continue that mission. Our mission within the making of disciples is to be a people who seek and save the lost. It's what the church did naturally in the first century. Look at Acts chapter 8, please. Join me in Acts chapter 8. Stephen has just been executed, murdered by the crowd, as it were, by stones. He was stoned to death. I don't know how horrible that would have been, but I don't really want to think about it. Stephen is stoned to death, and in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, there was a young man there called Saul, and Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. In the horror of this persecution, things had been going except for the anger of the council. The Jewish council was not happy about the growth of this sect. They weren't thrilled, but except for those sorts of things, there was a lot of unity. There was a lot of excitement. There was a lot of wonderful things going on in Jerusalem until now. And some group has had the courage to execute one of these Christians for what they thought was blasphemy. And a young man with a lot of clout says, yes, let's get this done. And Saul goes out and goes from house to house to house, dragging off our brothers and sisters and imprisoning them. And in its fear, they did what we would do. They left. They left. They went. And wherever they went, they cowered and told no one they were Christians. You'd think that'd be the next natural step. The out that Peter took, as we just read about, denying Jesus three times. No. Wherever these folks went, wherever our brothers and sisters went, the word was preached. You know, we deliberately are not all teachers. The word's clear about that. We are not all teachers in the sense of being platform or upfront teachers. We are not all evangelists. Only some are evangelists and some are teachers. And that's very deliberate. Lauren gave us some beautiful images of, out of Romans 12 and connecting it to 1 Corinthians of the church being the body of Christ and how every body has to have its particular function and all the functions have to work together and how important the unity is. But if your job is to be a teacher, let's say, in this life, your knee might not think it has much to do. I mean, it doesn't have to think about the subject being taught. It doesn't have to read about the subject being taught. It doesn't have to talk about the subject being taught. It doesn't have to hold a pencil or pen and write on the blackboard about the subject being taught. But you take a teacher and you give them a bum knee, and you've got a teacher who is going to be sitting or limping or in such pain that they're distracted from the quality of the work or the lesson that they had. I was so excited a minute ago to see Gene stand up when Gary said, "Let's stand and sing." And Gene stood and sang with us with her new knee. But you see, every part of the body accomplishes or helps to accomplish the mission of the body. My boys and I banged together a shed this summer in our backyard and had a lot of fun doing it and a little frustration and laying out the boards and making a few mistakes and having a lot of success. But I tell you what, every night, this elbow, actually the nerve running down this arm and through this elbow, had a lot to say to me. I mean, whether it's called tennis, whatever that thing is, the repetitive motion injury of pounding nails and working this arm, you don't sleep at night well. What would you say, Rocky? Old what? It hurt. I could still think. I could still know the layout of that shed. I could still hold things up. I could move. I could walk. But one little nerve passing through one elbow of my body weakened the whole body. I didn't rest well. I didn't eat well. And all throughout the day, every little motion that would get, either the arm would fall asleep and I'd have to be shaking it out and working my fingers out because I couldn't grip things very strongly anymore. The muscles were all okay. Just that one little nerve was damaged. As a church, all of us need our strength. All of us need one another to accomplish the mission that God has given to us. You see, this is a horrible event, but people are often scattered out before God. It's the way God dealt with people. You know, Abram was content to stay home with his family, but God wasn't content to have him stay there. In Genesis 12, he tells Abram, "Go forth from your country," verse 1, "from your relatives, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great." Abram, I'm not going to do this here. You need to get up and go. God often did that. He accomplished the spreading of the gospel in Acts chapter 8 by allowing the persecution of the church to send the church all over, knowing that wherever brothers and sisters of ours went, the truth of the gospel would go and the word would be preached. God either allows us to be scattered or puts us where we need to be. He did it to Jeremiah. He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, starting in verse 4, verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." And then I said, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you," declares the Lord. Whether he allows us to stay in place and simply shakes up our world and spreads us out, or whether he deliberately sends us and scatters us, however it works, wherever we go, we are to be proclaiming who God is and what he is. Romans, that Lauren has been teaching out of, let's turn to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12 is the as some I have identified, the beginning of the practical side of Romans. The first 11 chapters talk about the doctrinal side of our faith, and it's a beautiful description of what our faith is and what it's based on and where grace comes from and why and how grace is so awesome and where our struggle against sin is of and from and to, and how deliberate we need to be about that. And it wraps up, the first part of Romans wraps up with these scriptures in Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. In my mind, the word crescendo keeps coming. That musical thing that happens when all of the instruments in the orchestra rise together and they all come together and they all increase in volume and they all come at a certain point and the cymbals crash. The entire thing comes together at once and says, and you say, wow, your nerves tingle and you get excited. The adrenaline kicks up in you. And that's the kind of words we have here. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, unfathomable his ways, ending from him and through him and to him are all things. That's the excitement of our faith. That's the excitement of what we've been given, of who we are. And then when Romans 12 comes along and tells us that you're the body of Christ, you bring that excitement and you bring that purpose, and then if you get scattered or you don't, you got to talk about your faith. You got to reveal that Christ is your life and your purpose. How exciting it is. Whether you're a nerve through the elbow, part of the body, or you're a knee, you're an ear, whatever part of the body you are, you say, I'm critical, and this mission is so wonderful. I'm going to be the best and healthiest elbow nerve there ever was. And I'm not going to give out and cause the hand not to be able to grip things when it needs to. Our unity is so important. The reality of life is such that you come in contact with people that no one else here does. At work, up your street, at school, wherever it is. And the excitement of knowing Christ and the excitement of having a God that matches a description like what we just gave him would result in the same thing happening wherever we go as to what happened to the church being scattered throughout the central part of the west end of the Mediterranean. That wherever we go, the word of God will be spoken. Wherever we go, Christ will be shown. Wherever we go, the gospel will be taught. Not because we're all teachers, not because we're all evangelists, but because we're all part of a body with one mission. With one mission. That we carry on that what Christ carried on to seek and save the lost and glorify God by so doing. Jesus begged us, taught us, consoled us. We mentioned this last week in John 13 when Jesus talked about our unity and our love for one another. In John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give you that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Because love's so much fun. Well, it is a lot of fun. Anybody here not like being loved? In fact, you like being loved so much that it's probably your very basic and first need. Everybody needs to be loved. And in fact, everybody needs to love somebody. It is fundamental to how God made us that we love others. and are loved. Those are basic needs. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, Jesus isn't just saying, you know you love, right? Because everybody knows that. Jesus is saying, I want you to love like I love. That's the new commandment. Love to die for the other person. That's the challenge. And then he gives at least part of the reason, if not the reason. Verse 35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Our love, our unity, our sacrifice, our connection, our commitment, the working together of the body are proclamations of Christ. Christ gets shown and taught and glorified by who we are and how we love. Ephesians 5:21 says to submit yourselves one to another. What Lauren was teaching us last week was out of Philippians chapter 2, that we regard one another as more important than ourselves. I ask you to turn to Galatians now, and let's look at Galatians chapter 5 in this regard. Galatians 5. Verse 13. That working together of a body, as a body, proclaims Christ. And the message of the cross, the message of Christ, flows naturally from a body that's strong and united and purposed and serving one another. But the best teaching and the best explanation, I can't even get the word out, the best explanation out of the scriptures and the best understandings of the word of God will not overwhelm a divided and broken body. If the church is weak and backstabbing and cutting and divided, you can proclaim Christ all day long and people will look at the church and say, no thanks, I don't want it. If that's what it is, I don't want it. But with a united, loving, serving body, they'll come and ask, what is it you've got? What are you doing? And you can say, it's Christ. And they'll say, I'd like to learn more about that, please. Galatians 5:13. For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. And then he goes on and talks about walking in the Spirit. Our unity is purposed. Our unity is clearly part of our mission. And our fulfilling our role as part of the body is part of, or is united in, the mission of preaching the word and proclaiming Christ. Tell your friends about your faith. Tell folks about the lessons we've been having together. Encourage and serve those around you in a way that gives glory to God and proclamation of Christ. Look at this verse that explains it as God would have us understand. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that, isn't it nice to explain things? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now
You have received mercy.
Our working together, our mission as a church is to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness. It's why He chose us as a people. It's why He brings us together as a holy nation. That we will tell people and show people what it means to walk in the light. To come out of darkness and walk in the light. You see, the church grew in Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, we learn that they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to the number day by day those who were being saved. When things were going wonderfully, favor with all the people, everybody around them was excited. Look at that group, that's great. And they were growing. Every day they were growing. But it wasn't always that good. In Acts chapter 5, they flogged the apostles in verse 40. They flogged them and ordered them not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus, and then released them. They went away from the presence of the council rejoicing that they may be considered, had been considered worthy to suffer shame for His name. And every day in the temple courts, in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Now at this time, chapter 6, verse 1, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose. When they had it great, the church grew. When they were scared and threatened and beaten, the church grew. And when it got really bad, which is where we started this lesson back in Acts 8, when they were dragged out of their homes and imprisoned, the church grew. No matter what happened, no matter what came upon them, the church grew. That's our mission. We come in contact with people every week, and we need to be telling them at least of our faith, showing them at least the love of Christ, showing them, not at least, that's a great thing, showing them what God has done for us. We're not all evangelists, we're not all teachers, but we all meet people. And we all know Christ at some level. So let us be a church that naturally goes showing people the love and the light of Jesus Christ. Call it friendship evangelism, call it outreach, whatever you want to call it. We're going to have a class on what to do and how to do this better. Saturday, November 15th. We'll have a flyer. We'll let you know about it. Two Saturdays from now, we'll be meeting here on Saturday morning. If you want to come and learn more about friendship evangelism, how you can outreach naturally and connect and affect the people in your neighborhood and you work with or ride with or go to school with, I'm teaching a class just a few hours on that one Saturday, and we're going to learn how to be more effective and have better skills and application of this idea of growing the body of Christ by His truth and proclamation. If that's part of your heart, if this idea pricks your heart, please come and join us for that. And if it doesn't, you can come anyway. But at the very least, let us be a people who openly show Christ to those around us. And if there's anything in your way, if your connection to the body is harmed in any way, that means a division between you and any other person here. If there's a sore spot, if there's a failure in love, if there's a failure in submission, if there's any kind of division here, let's not put up with it. Because it damages the cause of Christ. How awful would it be that any brother or sister sitting here with us now is so discouraged by some act or decision or division that they're lost to Christ? Their loss affects their family, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, their great-great-grandchildren. Generations upon generations are lost over little incidents of division. Satan claims victory over us by hurting us and dividing us. Let's not put up with any of it. Let's grow to be a congregation like what we see in Acts, that whether times were great or times were scary or times were terrible, they grow in size and in maturity and in strength. This morning, if there are any here who want to be baptized into Christ, if you are ready to make that decision yourself, or you have anything else to get straight publicly between you and the congregation or you and God that we can help you with, we've chosen a song to sing, and we ask you to come forward and let us know what we can do for you while we stand and sing.